Happy Sunday, happy Sunday, happy Sunday. Can I have all y'all stand up? We want to welcome everybody who is a visitor. Welcome all the people at all our campuses here in San Diego and online in Oahu. Happy Sunday. Y'all ready for Christmas? Yes, yes. You're not any more ready than you were 5 minutes ago when I asked you, so. It's so good to be here. My name is Miles, and hopefully God is going to encourage you today. I want to read something to you before I get into the message and pray. Y'all remember the prayer of Jabez? You ever hear that, the prayer of Jabez? Long time ago, there was a little book called The Prayer of Jabez, and it was based on two verses in the Bible about a guy named Jabez, which means he will suffer. The prayer was basically asking God to bless him. And so I want to pray this prayer over you that God would bless you. Now, you may think it's selfish to pray to be blessed. Absolutely, it's not. It's biblical. God wants to bless you, but he wants you to be ready to be blessed so you can be a blessing, not just so you can have good stuff. And so you want to be a not a cul-de-sac. Y'all know what a cul-de-sac is? It's a dead end where it all stops with you. You want to be a throughway, right? It comes through you. Amen? Even when you give to the church, you give through the church. You don't give to the church. It goes through to the community. So it says here, Jabez means he will cause pain. He said, I'm going to reverse that. I want to be a blessing. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me. Everyone say, bless me. And enlarge my territory. Say, enlarge my territory. Which means give me more responsibility. That your hand will be with me. Say, God, may your hand be with me. That you would keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. Don't trip. Okay? That's just what that means. Just don't go crazy. Okay? That I may not cause pain. Say, I may not cause pain. And God granted him his request. Lord, I just pray for everybody listening, everybody here in the building, everybody in all our buildings and online, everybody who will hear this recording, that you would bless them, that you would enlarge their territory, that they would be a blessing to others and have the intention never to cause anybody pain. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I would like you to do. I would like you to find someone around you that doesn't look like you. And tell them, hey, tell them they look beautiful, okay? Tell them they look beautiful. You know what I'm sitting here wondering? If someone said, oh, you don't think I look like you? Relax. Relax. We are a multi-shade of brown Skittles-friendly plurch, okay? A couple of brief things. In 2 weeks, we are going to start a 21-day fast and prayer. Come on, come on, come on, come on. How many of you have never fasted? And I'm not talking about you didn't have no money and you couldn't eat breakfast. How many of you have never fasted? Raise your hand. Okay, great. This is a great time to fast. You can go on our website, sdrock.com/fast. We got all kinds of resources and stuff for you, sermons and all kinds. You can learn about it. But two Sundays from now, we're going to start a 21 days fast. You can do whatever you want. And we're going to do a series on prayer called House of Prayer, to encourage you to pray, and we're going to start the year off like Jesus started his ministry off. He did 40 days. Anybody want to do 40? Yeah, you feel froggy? Let's go. Let's go. Okay. Yeah, I've done 40 about three times. It may be another time. Maybe time for another one of those. That'd be great. I think that was it. Okay. I know a young lady. She's 31, 32, single. And she was telling me the other day, you know, I said, what's happening? What's happening? You're going to get married. You got a boy, you got a guy in your life. Blah, blah. She said, oh, these guys be tripping. You know, they want to take me out one time. And then they go, God told me you're my wife. Fellas, don't do that. Even if you heard a voice, which is probably not God. Now, when I saw my wife, I wasn't walking with God, so I can't blame it on God, but I did tell my friend I was going to marry her, but I didn't tell her that, okay? Don't do that. So anyway, she was like, why do guys do that? I said, well, one, they may be trying to get you into bed. And two, they don't got any game. This like, let me throw the marriage thing out. Maybe we'll just go, okay, I'm yours. Instead of, hey, you know, what's up? What's your name, girl? Where you live? Why don't you give me your number? You know what I'm saying? Just smooth stuff like that. They can't even do that. Can't do that. You know? Back in the day, we had no, you know, texting. You had to go knock on the door. Yo, is Mary home? You know, you had to go old school, okay? So anyway, there was this movie named Hitch with Will Smith. And it was about that very thing. Guys that were trying to get girls, but they had no game. They were goofy. Their glasses were all like that. You know, they were jacked up. So Will Smith would help them get their act together and teach them how to approach this particular girl they wanted. And so he would do background on the girl. He would find out where she works. Fellas, take notes, by the way. Take notes when I'm getting ready to tell you. what's her favorite color? What's her favorite flowers? What's her dream? What is she dreaming about? What is she aspiring to be? She got any family problems? All this stuff about her so he can approach the lady and then address these things subtly in time and show her that he cares and he's understanding. So that's what the movie is about. It's a great movie, and all these couples that would not normally get together. You ever see goofy dudes with some fine women? And you want to go up to the dude and go, bro, how did you pull that off? You know, it was probably something like that. Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, in the movie, Will Smith meets a girl that he starts to get a crush on. So he does his thing with this girl. She's at work, and he sends her a courier. And the courier says, I got a package from Miss Felix, and in this big old box is a walkie-talkie. So she hits on, and he's on the other side, and he says, how you doing? And he says, I'm going to invite you to the pier at 7 a.m. on Saturday. And she's like, what are you talking about? Are you going to come? And she says yes. As soon as she says yes, the courier gives her another package. He anticipated she was going to say yes. And in that package was a wetsuit. And so she's like, 7 o'clock. She says, okay, I'll be there. 7 o'clock, she shows up. He's at the pier in Manhattan on the Hudson with two jet skis. So they go jet skiing, and she thinks, oh, this is great. He set it all up. And then they go to Ellis Island, where all the immigrants came to the country from outside of the country into New York. And in Ellis Island, they have records of people who came and immigrated to the United States. My father came through Ellis Island. My grandparents came through Ellis Island. And so he's taking this girl to see where her uncle came into the country, the first part person from her family, and his name was something, the butcher. Well, she starts crying and runs away. He's like, what happened? Well, it so happened that he was a butcher, not of meat, but of people. I mean, he was a murderer, unfortunately. So the date didn't go that great. But what he did is he tailor-made the date to her. We're in a series called The Promise of Christmas. And last week, Pastor Travis talked about the prophetic promise. Today I want to talk about the personal promise, that God has tailor-made the gospel for you. When Jesus came as a child, the Bible says he came to save the world. That's true. But he came to save you, and he knows you. He knows everything about your life. He has a plan for your life, and the plan that he has for your life is not for anybody else. It's specifically designed for you. So we're going to look at 5 aspects of the personal promise of Christmas. Number one, the personal promise of Christmas is God's pursuit of you. God is pursuing you. The reason he sends people like me to talk to you is because he is pursuing you. If people bump into me in airports, Target, not Home Goods. I can't go to Home Goods. It's too busy. My wife, I went there one time. I said, I'm never coming to the store again. There's too much stuff. So I stand outside. We go to the mall. My wife says, you go in the stores. I stand outside. I stand outside because God wants me to see somebody walking by, but he wants you. When I met my wife, I was focused on her. I was like a Cocker Spaniel. I was like, I found out where her classes were. I found out where she parked. It was kind of semi-stalking, but stalking wasn't out. So it wasn't really stalking because they hadn't invented it yet. You ever been in church where you feel like the Holy Spirit's talking to you? Oh, no, I'm sorry. You ever been in church and feel like the pastor's talking to you? I ain't talking to you. I mean, I am, but I'm not. I don't know your business. I've had literally people come up to me and say, Pastor, this sermon was so great, da, da, da. And I say, what did I talk about? And I go, you talked about drugs. I said, no, I didn't. I talked about jumping out of a plane. When I am talking, and my voice, and by the way, sound is a vibration in the air, and the vibration in the air goes through the air, it hits your eardrum, which is called your tympanic membrane. That eardrum shakes and then vibrates some bones, and then stereocilia, thousands and millions of little hairs inside get tickled, and it goes into your brain, and you hear it in an instant. That is God's design, nothing else. And so what happens is you're hearing that, and it's going into your brain, and you're going, and then you're making sense of those my words, and those words are evoking emotion and pictures and images. That is all happening. That is true. But what else is happening is that the Holy Spirit is whispering to your heart. And while I'm talking about A, the Holy Spirit's having a conversation with you about B. Because God is wanting you. He just wanted you to get you in the room. And if he got you in the room, he can go, now you're focused on me. I'm talking to you. And he knows everything about you. There is no secret that you have that God does not know. Nothing. And he still hasn't killed you. And he would be justified because the Bible said the penalty of sin is death. His grace is saying, I'm giving you time. You all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. We're gonna read it, but a little different. Let's read this out loud. And I rewrote it to be tailored to you. Look what it says. It says, let's read it out loud. 1, 2, 3. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, that if I believe in him, I will not perish but have life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn me, but that I through him might be saved. Now, is it true that God so loved, by the way, if you feel like I rewrote scripture and I'm a heretic, relax. This is how you can read it, because God, yes, he loved the world, the physical planet, all the nations, all the nationalities. Absolutely. He died for the sins of the world, whoever would receive him. But you are included in that. So you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, God loves you. God wants you. And he can redeem you. Number two, the personal promise of Christmas is tailored to your experience of God entering your world, not you entering his. God wants to come into your pain, your drama. The number one cause of death between 10-year-olds and 34-year-olds, from people 10 to 34, number one cause of death is accidents. Number two cause of death is suicide. Think about that. The devil has convinced people more than any other thing other than accidents, to kill themselves. They feel overwhelmed by mental stress, mental illness, emotional pain, loss of connection. They don't feel connected. A lot of y'all, you come to a big church, and you think, well, it's too big. No, we have small groups, because heaven is not going to be small. Heaven's going to be way bigger than this. And by the way, I told you in the beginning to find someone who don't look like you. We are blessed by God to have a Skittles church with all these nationalities in here. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. And we live in San Diego. There's a lot of diversity here, blah, 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 blah. But take advantage of being here and get to know people. Talk to people. Say, what's your name? Where are you from? And then when you go out into the world, do the same thing. Don't let the division of the world get into your head, because when you go to heaven, this is what's going to be like. It ain't going to be everybody looking like you, okay? It's going to be all, the Bible says in Matthew 25, all the nations, say all the nations. And so you can be in a big place and be disconnected. And people who don't feel like they belong or not seen or not supported, those are the candidates for the devil to get in their head and say, why don't you just kill yourself? Because people who kill themselves or attempt suicide or desire suicide, it's not that they want to die. They just want the pain to go away. But what the devil will do is start blaming God. Well, God doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. He doesn't understand. He's forgotten you. And by the way, if God was so loving, why would he let you suffer? He doesn't understand pain. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Out of all the gods, supposed gods and religions in the world, we have the God who knows most about pain than anybody else because he stepped into our pain. I want to read something. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected by men. This is the Old Testament talking about the Messiah. A man of sorrows. Jesus is a man of sorrows. I know sometimes in our culture, we're on a quest to be happy. We're on a quest to be successful. We're on a quest to avoid pain. Unfortunately, this life has pain in it. But God uses that pain to draw us close to him. But we live in a sinful world. Unfortunately, heaven will have no more sorrow, no more tears. It says, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jesus is acquainted with grief. You're acquainted with grief, he's acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. We don't want to look at him. He was despised. We did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was beat and crucified for our sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus suffered for us. There is no other God or deity out there that will ever even claim to do that. Let me make it even more practical. How many of y'all been betrayed by a friend? Jesus betrayed by Judas. How many of y'all were abandoned by your friends when they were there saying they supposed to support you and you felt like they turned their back on you? Jesus had his disciples flee when he was arrested and crucified. How many of you had a friend deny you, like, I don't know him, I don't know, and they misrepresented the truth about your relationship? Peter did that to Jesus. Jesus was misunderstood by his own family. How many of you have family members that say, I'm not into that Christianity stuff, you're crazy? Well, guess what? Jesus' own family said he was crazy. How many of y'all been falsely accused? Well, I don't see a lot of y'all raise your hands. You haven't lived if none of this stuff happened to you. My goodness, you got a cakewalk job. You're like, nah, no one ever denied me. No one ever talked behind my back. No one ever false. Man, what kind of life you living? Y'all, come on now. How many of y'all been falsely accused? Someone say stuff about you. Now we're talking. Guess what? Jesus said, I had the same thing. Public humiliation. I had the same thing Jesus said. Physical exhaustion and suffering. You haven't had what Jesus had. You haven't. Feeling forsaken by God. You might have felt that, but maybe not to the degree of Jesus, because he had the sin of the world on him. What's my point? Is that he entered into your world. He wants to walk with you. So when he came, he didn't come with a Gucci manger and a Louis Vuitton blanket. He was born in an eating trough of an animal. Lived only 33 years for us. And he went through all of that and then some. The Bible says that he was so stressed, he sweat blood. I don't know how stressed you are. The Bible says we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was tempted in every point possible. He was tempted, and he never sinned. Number three, personal promises of Christmas is perfectly timed to your life. Perfectly timed. When I was in college, my third or fourth year, our training camp in football, we had 10 days, about 10 days, where we had practice four times a day. It was, didn't make any physical sense, it was just wrong. But we did it anyway. The coach did it, he said, we're gonna practice four times a day. Three full practices with uniforms, and the first practice or meeting was at 6 a.m., and it was an hour of running, sprints, just all kind of cardio for an hour. And then after that, three practices the rest of the day. And I remember during the running session one time, there was a guy on the team, big dude, and he was basically crying. And he's going, I can't. It stuck in my mind. I could see his face now. And even when I see my former teammates, I say, you remember that guy was going, I can't. And they're like, yeah, I remember that. We all come to a point in all our lives, whether because of physical stress or exhaustion, mental exhaustion, emotional exhaustion, we get to a point where we say, I can't do this anymore. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, if you've been there. Very good, very good. Well, studies show that when you get to the point where you want to quit, you're only 40% of your capacity. You got a lot more in the tank. Now, some of y'all are so soft. You're like at 2%. I mean, you walk up the stairs and you go, I'm not talking about if you got a heart condition or, you know, you're 98 years old or whatever. You're like 25. And you can't get to the top. Oh, I gotta sit down. Boy, I can't come to work today. Brother, please. One little inconvenience. Your boss asks you to do one thing extra, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna file a lawsuit. Because the devil tells you it's all about you. It's like, everyone's supposed to serve you. I didn't get my seat in church. Pastor Miles was in here, I'm not coming back. This ain't about me. I ain't gonna be here forever. It's about Jesus. Amen. And so what our brain does is our brain regulates comfort and survival. It doesn't regulate and it's not wired necessarily for you to go the full max. That's why you have to push yourself. And when you go to the military, which I have not been to the military, and God bless all the people in the military, but especially if you do special forces, they teach you that you have way more in the tank than you think. And I haven't been to that, so I'm not saying I was there. I've definitely pushed myself way beyond what I thought I could do. And so we have way more in the tank than we think, and often God is looking at us and we're complaining, dear God, get me, God. And God's like, fool, you're like, when we go into fast, you're gonna be like, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm like, how long have you fasted? 2 hours. And I just gotta sit down. It's in your head. And God's like, what? What? My son fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Not my son, God's son. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. When I first heard that, I was like, oh, snap, I'm gonna try that. It was the most amazing thing in my life. Now, I didn't do nothing like him. I was drinking fluids, but I was like, it was amazing. Did I ever thought that was possible? No. I didn't want to stop. But you will go way beyond what you think when you are motivated by purpose, love. You will do a whole lot for love. Let me tell you something, fellas. You guys who are not disciplined, and you look at that, her, and she goes, I want you to clean yourself up. And you'd be right to the bathroom. Because you got purpose. You're motivated by hope. There was a study done with rats. They put these rats in some water, and they wanted to see how long they could swim before they drowned. And the rats, after 15 minutes, started drowning. They took the rats out, dried them off, let them sit there for a few minutes, and they put them back in the water. Everyone say 15 minutes? They put them in. They can only swim for 15 minutes. They started drowning. They took them out, dried them off, let them rest, put them back in the water. They lasted because they believed that someone was going to come get them. They swam not 15 minutes, they swam 6 hours. You have 5 hours and 45 more minutes of endurance in your life. And often God is waiting for you to get to the point where you just say, I give up. Because some of y'all are saying you're giving up, but you're not really giving up. You're just being soft. And if you're gonna follow God, soft ain't gonna work because he is going to consistently want more from you. More from you, more from you. It is time. So sometimes the timing is that God says, I'm going to come when you're really, really ready. Because some of y'all are crying out to God, but you're not ready. You're not ready. Number four, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4-5, it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. God is about the right time. Number four, the promise of Christmas is based on his character, not your performance. I was watching a video the other day of a young lady who cheated on her husband for 3 years with her husband's best friend. Man's worst nightmare. Man's worst. Every time my wife and I are watching TV and it has something to do with something like that, I'm like, where you been? Where you been? She says, I'm going to the store. Oh, what store? How long are you going to be back? When are you going to be back? Once she confessed to her husband, he was heartbroken, sad, disappointed. And then he said this, I don't know how not to love you. That's Jesus. He don't know how not to love you. When the devil's telling you, you're not lovable, God don't see you, you've done too many things. There's a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 7, verse 48. Jesus goes into a religious man's house, a Pharisee, and while he's in the house, a woman who was considered a sinner, they didn't give her a name, they said she was a sinner, came behind him and started washing his feet with her hair and her tears. And they started criticizing Jesus, saying, how are you letting this sinner touch you? If you were a real prophet, if he was a real prophet, he wouldn't let her touch him. And Jesus forgives her sin and says, he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Those who sat at the table began to say to themselves, who is this who forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus said, the only thing I know how to do is forgive those who come to me. He doesn't know any better. He doesn't know any different. He can't do any different. That's his character, and he can't deny himself. So when he comes to you, he's coming to you based on his love, not your love. His purity, not your performance. It's not like, oh, I've done good enough, now God can. You can never, ever deserve or earn God's forgiveness, ever. You just have to receive it by faith. And number five, a personal promise of Christmas is to redeem what sin has done in your life. I was watching an interview of a terrorist who was talking about how he killed 900 people and raped all these women. And they were asking him about, how do you do that? And what are you doing? These women are screaming at you, trying to resist you. How do you feel? And he was talking about it. Then he said, you know what? I feel horrible. We all have a conscience. And even as hard as some people are, God has given us a conscience. Now, we can decide to ignore our conscience, or we can decide to follow God's voice in our heart. John 10:10 says, I have come to give them life, that they may have life more abundantly. God wants to erase all the damage that sin has brought into your life. The Bible says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of your righteousness. Where I used to wake up and say, how am I going to get high today? I don't think that anymore. I used to wake up and think I'm going to do this. My mind has been renewed out of those things. And there are some things that maybe some of y'all are doing today that you can't, it's like an endless cycle. You're trapped. You become what the Bible calls a slave to sin. When I used to do cocaine would call me. My lifestyle would call me. And I'll be like, I don't want to do it. And then next thing I'm on the phone, next thing, I don't want to call. I'm in the car. I don't want to go. I got to get going to get the money. And it's like you're having this war in your mind. And God's like, I've given you enough power. You can do it. You have to choose. You're going to follow me or follow your desires? Salvation is like having two dogs in your heart, a good dog and a bad dog. Good wolf and a bad wolf, and they're fighting. And the dog that wins the fight is the dog that you feed. If you feed your spirit, you say, Lord, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read your Bible. I'm going to trust you. You will live a victorious life. You have to make that decision. You have to even just make that decision by just thinking about your life. How is your life working out for you now? How is that weed working out for you right now? Y'all who smoke weed. How's that working out? How's that cocaine working out for you? How about that you're cheating on your spouse and you're in church with the person you're cheating with? Don't think I'm making this stuff up, but this is real. These are things that have happened. A woman came and said, my husband's coming to your church with his girlfriend. Bro, that brother's got bigger problems than being an adulterer. He's just out of his mind. But really, you have to think, how's that stealing for y'all who steal, y'all who lie? How's that working out? Talking about people to make yourself feel good. Does that ever really solve the problem of pain in your heart? No, that's why you keep doing it. At some point, you got to say, God, I want the gift, not the Christmas gift under the tree. I want the gift of salvation. I want the gift of freedom. So I'm going to ask all y'all to bow your heads and close your eyes. And listen to the voice of God. Holy Spirit, I just pray you scream in people's voice. I know you're a small, still voice, but I pray you speak so clearly and loudly they know it's you, not me, speaking. And I pray you tell them and they hear you say you love them and that you are ready to transform their life even today. So if you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. You don't need to pray it out loud. Just pray it in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe that you love me. I admit that I'm a sinner, that the penalty of my sin is death. I believe that you died and rose from the dead for me. I confess my sin to you. I commit my life to you. I repent. I surrender. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'm just going to ask you in a minute to stand to your feet. And as you stand, you are declaring publicly, I am walking out of my old life into a new life. So on the count of three, in all the campuses, wherever you are, you know God's been speaking to you ever since we said hello today. So now's your chance to say hello back. So on the count of three, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. One, two, three, stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Stay standing. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. We see you up there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. All y'all who are standing up, in a minute we're going to ask you to come down to the altar so we can pray for you. If you're in the balcony, just walk up around and they'll bring you down. So if you're standing up, come out of your seat, come on down to the altar. Let's give them a big hand as they come on down. Come on, church. Come on, church. Let's go. Come on, let's give them a big hand. Come, darling. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. Just face me. God bless you. 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 My brother. God bless you. 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 Come on, church. Let's give a big hand. Come on, church. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. 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 God bless you.